NARIC is your record industry knowledge network.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. My name is Tess Taylor. I'm the president of the National Association of Record Industry Professionals. Delighted to have you with us here this evening for yet another excellent pitch session. This time, the fabulous personal artist manager, Jordan Berliant. Before I introduce Jordan, a quick word about NARIC for those of you here for the first time. Once the music is made, then what? Then NARIC. We are now in our 18th year, and we are the leading record industry organization for career development, education, and access in this business. We help you to market and distribute your music or understand how it's done. So we're based here in Los Angeles with 9 chapters around the country, and in London, we've got a mentor network, a job bank, and search services for our members. Be sure that you use them. And we have an online store where you can purchase audio recordings of past programs like these, and you can stream them. And I highly encourage you to stream the past event with Jordan, although having experienced it yourself in person this evening, it may not be quite as necessary, but it was fabulous. We also have form agreements, sample marketing plans, and other resources, of which you are most heartily welcome to avail yourselves at NARIC.com. So please follow us, like us, and love us if you enjoy our event tonight. You can tweet and Instagram about us, at NARIC, myself, at Tess Taylor, and do you have a NARIC, or an Instagram, Twitter, or anything like that?
I'm on Facebook.
You're
on Facebook. But okay. I'll give everybody who's here, I can give them my card, so in case they need to follow up with me, they can do
All right.
That.
Good.
But I'm at revelationmanagement.com. You can reach us at info@revelationmgmt.com.
All right, and tweet about us heftily at this event. Joe, you're really good at that. So we've got tons of upcoming events. You can see at NARIC.com. We've got more supervisor sessions next week. We've got Andre von Forster, one of our favorite, most prolific supervisors, who has placed literally dozens of tracks from our members, as well as Gary Calamar and Heather Kramer, also who've placed many, many tracks from our members. So these sessions work. We have over 500 placements as a direct result of these very small, intimate pitch sessions. And also coming up for the first time, we have Heather Joubert, who is a protege of P.J. Bloom and Neophonic. She's now an independent music supervisor, so I'm looking forward to having her for the first time. Very good. We've had just recently one of our NARIC members landed a huge placement in the trailer for the Lionsgate film Deepwater Horizon, starring Mark Wahlberg and Kurt Russell.
Very
huge.
Good.
Yeah. And his music was the entire trailer.
That's wonderful. Yes. Good.
Okay. We hit the bullseye after a NARIC session in Berlin. You know about the Vodafone placement. That music was picked up at one of our sessions and used in the 5-prong campaign across Germany, television, radio, tagged in print, online. It was everywhere. So that's just one of many. Our Atlanta members was commissioned to compose 20 original cues for a VH1 program. So it really, really works. I want to thank SAE. You met Kevin McCarty earlier for enabling our NARIC events to be held here. And I want to thank very heartily the lovely young Irene Capone and Vincent Loris, who are helping us tonight. So I'm going to start with just a couple of questions for Jordan, and then we're going to go to music. So let me introduce our lovely guest, whom you certainly must know about or you wouldn't be here. He's formerly a partner at The Collective, where he oversaw day-to-day operations of the music management division. In addition to managing Linkin Park, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, and Stained, he brought his international expertise to the company's entire management roster and created a network of label and media partnerships across the globe. He previously ran the day-to-day operations while also serving as international general manager for Alan Kovac's management company, Left Bank, which later became 10th Street Entertainment. He's played an instrumental role in positioning several key marketing strategies and building and developing and sustaining a number of artist careers, which is the hardest thing of all. He's managed to help numerous artists to success and long-term sustained careers, including Evanescence, Everclear, Papa Roach, Clint Black, Billy Talent, and many more. Will you please join me in welcoming Jordan Berliant? All right. So thank you so much for making time, Jordan. I know how busy you are, and we're happy to have you here. So what are the keys to long-term success, not just talent, work ethic? What do you look for? Because that's a question that an artist manager always gets.
I think it depends on what lane you're pursuing.
Okay.
But I think as, in terms of what enables artists to have long-term success, apart from having consistently great music, is understanding what business they're in. And that may seem like a strange thing to say, because, you know, you would think that they're in the music business. And yes, they are in the music business, but the music business today is not the same music business as it was even 10 years ago or 20 years ago when I worked at a record company. 20 years ago when I worked at a record company, the music business was about manufacturing and pressing round plastic things called CDs. And there, I worked at one of six companies that were major record corporations that could create a ubiquitous distribution presence for the music that they released. And at the time, in the U.S. alone, there were 15,000 of these things called record stores. And so the music business in the 90s and up until about a decade or so ago was built on shipping and manufacturing of product. And it really didn't matter what the product was, because with 15,000 points of sale, there was enough volume and foot traffic of people going into these stores to be able to sell a lot of records. And record companies got very wealthy at that point, and some of it managed to even filter down to a few artists. But that's all different now, right? Apart from Amoeba and a couple other stores in Los Angeles, record stores don't really exist in a physical presence anymore. And back then, if you wanted to listen to an album, you had to buy it. Now you don't need to buy it. It's not about owning anymore. It's about accessing it, whether that's through streaming or accessing it through watching the video on YouTube or downloading the files on iTunes or Amazon. But it's really not even about that anymore. It's really about creating a network of fans that can be aggregated on digital platforms like Facebook, probably the biggest, Twitter, Instagram, and a few others, and being able to maintain that fan base and leverage that fan base. I've been able to put artists into businesses as equity participants in consumer electronics, software, all kinds of things, just based on the size of their fan base and the understanding of who those fans are, which we do by researching them. So as an artist, the business today is really much different than just recording music, getting signed, playing your songs live for an audience. It's really about existing in a world where 24/7 somebody is paying attention and wants to access what you do,
Jordan,
in terms of your, hold on.
Heidi, welcome. Thanks for joining us. If you could mute yourself, my dear, and we will get to you shortly. Okie doke.
Okay. Okay.
Heidi is with us. Hooray. Okay.
Now, I assume we also have some people that don't necessarily aspire to be artists, but aspire to record and music and monetize that music.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, the world is much different now, because I think while we don't necessarily process this in the front of our brains, I would be hard-pressed to remember a day in my life that I didn't hear music in some way, shape, or form, whether that was watching television or seeing a commercial or walking into a store and hearing music in the background, et cetera, et cetera. And I think for a songwriter, there's never been more opportunity to create music that can be used in a production capacity. And again, when, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if you were a good songwriter, you were rather limited to finding a hit artist that would record your song Or if you were really huge, like a Diane Warren, you'd get a call once in a while from film studios asking you to write a hit song for the end title of their film. But now there are companies that actually specialize in servicing production music to reality television, to people who create content on the internet. And so music is more ubiquitous in our world, I think, than ever before. And as a songwriter, it's incumbent upon you to learn what those opportunities are, to hone your craft towards one or more of those lanes, and to find the people that can help monetize that music on your behalf. Not just about publishers and record companies anymore.
Very good. So, Heidi, I don't think you quite muted yourself. Can you mute yourself, Heidi?
I'm still trying to find it on my phone.
Okay, well, it's probably on your... It's on the app. There's a microphone that looks red, and you click it, and you mute yourself, because we hear all of your rustling about. I think you found it. Good. All right. So, and we will get to you in just a moment, because I know you're in a different time zone. So thank you for that overview, Jordan. I thought it was interesting. I just read a couple of days ago that Selena gets paid $550,000 for one post. I think that's because she got a sponsor or something like that, drinking a soda.
There are actually companies, going back to what I said about aggregating your fan base, and I'm not necessarily advocating this. Mm-hmm. In fact, I brought a rather lucrative deal to one of my artists and was kind of happy she decided not to accept it. Mm-hmm. But there are all kinds of companies that will pay artists for access to their fans, for the opportunity to put sponsored posts in front of them. Now, for some artists, that may not ruffle feathers of their fan base so much, but for other artists, it will. So that's a decision that has to be made on a case-by-case basis. But there are all kinds of avenues as an artist now. If you're able to aggregate your fan base and maintain that fan base and grow that fan base, there are all kinds of opportunities to, I use the word, leverage that fan base for... for monetary gain.
Well, throughout the evening, I'd love your thoughts on, brands or possible sponsors that would work with the music that you hear. So let's go to young Joe McGowan in Charleston, page 13 of your handout.
Thanks.
So, Joe, you're in a different time zone. Are you there, my dear? Hey, Joe.
Yes.
Nice to see
Hi.
You. So,
thanks.
Joe... One of our recent guests called him Elton John Goes to Nashville. That's what he sounds like, which I thought was perfect. Who was that? Was that Gabe McDonough or Gabe Hilfer? Gabe Hilfer. Okay. So Elton John Goes to Nashville. That's the best description of Joe that I've heard. So he's been a singer and songwriter all his life. He went astray and became a surgeon. And now he's coming back to being an artist-songwriter. So he's performed probably 20 surgeries today. One of his songs was a finalist in the Great American Song Contest for two entries, The Hunter and Rainbow. He's got a debut album coming out later this year featuring original music, overcoming adversity, gay rights activism, and embracing one's authentic self, our favorite themes of his. So he's got fabulous hooks and melodies. He has some performance experience. And by the way, Jordan just remarked to me earlier before we came in, he says he loves these one sheets. So this is why I hammer you guys to get your information to me so that I can provide this to Jordan. It's extremely useful. So very good. So Joe, what are we going to hear from you first this evening?
Are we lose Joe?
Okay, sorry, he broke out for just a second. I was thinking... Maybe we could start with radio.
Radio, okay, very good. So you are on the controls. Go to Joe McGowan, and you play it and fast forward and stop it whenever you like, okay? There you go.
And I can't get you.
very nice. Let's listen to one more, two
okay.
more.
Yeah, one or two more.
What's next?
You want to listen to them all and then comment?
Yeah.
Okay. What would you like next, Joe? Oh, here we have
Lock and Key.
Lock and Key? Okay. Hi, Gabe. Here. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Lock and Key. Great. There we are. All right.
We listen to part of another one, Joe.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Come back to me or Rainbow.
Rainbow? Okay.
I was hoping you'd pick that one.
Oh, good.
I'll tell you why in a minute. Oh, wait. You send it. Click down here.
Yeah, I think it's this side.
So you don't have to have sides with a map.
My song, Mama made me love.
did Joe go?
He is right here. There you are.
Okay, so I have a few thoughts and maybe a few questions.
Okay.
What I think what's interesting is the three songs you played are all based on metaphors, which is a great, you know, device to write with. You know, the lock and key thing about, you know, two souls fitting together. You know, the metaphor of radio and rewind to turn, kind of turn back time and remember when, you know, the protagonist of the story was in a better space in terms of a relationship than presumably now. And then Rainbow, which is obviously a very powerful symbol and metaphor, you know, in the LGBT community. You know, I think that that's interesting, and that's kind of an interesting trait, you know, for you as a writer. I think out of the three, I thought the song that hit me the most and felt the most unique and original was Lock and Key. I thought the beginning was great, sort of this very atmospheric, kind of almost Peter Gabriel-ish beginning. I loved how sparse the song was, and that you kind of resisted the temptation to overbuild it, though it does build kind of nicely in the bridge. It felt very cinematic to me, something I could hear to punctuate a scene in a film or in a TV show. Were you singing both characters in that? Is that your voice?
No. No, that was a female vocalist.
Okay. The only reason I ask is because, did you sing radio? Was that all you?
He has a falsetto, good falsetto.
That was all me.
Yeah,
because the falsetto in radio, it was, you know, you have a big range as a singer because of your falsetto, so I wasn't sure whether you were singing both characters in Lock and Key.
Yeah, that was supposed to be a duet.
Yeah, no, I felt like that song is, I think that is a good direction for you, actually. What tends to strike me, and I think a lot of other people in, you know, who are on my side of the business, is something that stands out as being unique and different, and, excuse me, original. The song that I feel like I have the most criticism of, and I don't mean criticism necessarily in a negative way, but just in terms of feedback, was Rainbow. I think to write a song based on that symbol and that metaphor, again, given its importance in our social lexicon, I think you have to go a little bit deeper. You know, in the bridge, you're reciting colors, but you're not giving meaning to those colors. What do those colors represent? I feel like you could really develop the lyrics to that song much more than you have to this point, if you're open to that. I'd like to understand what each of those colors represents to you and what meaning those representations have for you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely. And actually, one of the reasons I wanted to present that song to you is because I really want to develop that song. I mean, I don't think it is what it can be, and I want to make it better. And one of the things that I was hoping to maybe seek your guidance for would be to find someone who is a producer, but that could also function as a co-writer to help me develop it, to help me get it a more like contemporary sound. Mm-hmm. But then also to develop it in a way that, I mean, with my writing, because, you know, some producers can also be co-writers. Sometimes producers, you know, really aren't able to do both. And one thing that I'm really looking for is to find someone who, you know, is really good that I could help, that could help me with specifically that song.
Right.
That's one of the reasons I'm...
Where is he based again?
He's in Charleston.
In Charleston. Okay, so you're not that far from Nashville. And
he just got back from a songwriter's camp in Nashville.
Doing songwriter retreats is a good way to meet other people in terms of finding producers that also write. You know, Nashville's a great place to mine that from. And what I can do is send, if I can get copies of the song, what I can do is we have a Nashville office. You know, I'll send it to them and see if they have any ideas of people in, you know, write in this sort of pop style that might be interested in working with you.
Thank you so much.
Does any producer writers spring to mind?
Not immediately, okay. but that doesn't mean that they don't exist.
Okay.
Obviously.
Okay. So you're
important. I wouldn't be opposed to, you know, an LA-based person either. I mean, I can travel. You know what I mean? It's more about the right fit for me. You know, one thing I worry about with the country market is that will this be a sort of subject matter that a country group fan base wants to hear? You know.
Not necessarily, but you're not limited to country just because you're in Nashville. There's a ton of publishers there, a ton of producers that work outside of country music, too. What the sense I got from your music is though, it's very American. And
yeah, definitely.
And I think, you know, trying to find somebody in Nashville, or LA for that matter, is not a bad idea. I have some people I can play this too, and see if we get a reaction.
Okay. Yeah, and
I would still appreciate that, Jordan. Thank you so very much.
And there's some really good stuff in his folder.
Okay.
All right.
Tess will send me your folder and I'll follow up.
Okay.
Okay, who's the next victim?
So, Joe, stick around because I'm going to ask some producer questions, but if you have to sign off, we'll get you the audio later, but We're gonna talk about some creative control problems too, you know, artist producer wrangling and how to keep from being wrangled. But thank you very much, Joe. So stay with us if you can. So let's go to Heidi Masson in Houston. She is on page 11. Heidi, are you there, my dear?
I am.
All right. Thanks for staying up. Yes. All right.
Oh, sure.
Here's Heidi. Okay. Everybody in the Google chat, keep your clothes on, and I'm not kidding. We did have one person accidentally forget that she was on a Google chat, and it was interesting. All right.
Accidentally.
Wow. I know.
Accidentally on purpose.
It was accidental. She just forgot. Okay. So, Miss Heidi is based in Houston. She's got goodearthmusic.com. She specializes in pop top 40 alternative, mixing it up with EDM and electronica. She's gotten a lot of love for her EDM tracks and her house music. Her influencing artists include Jean-Michel Jarre, Cascade, Paul Van Dyk. Is it Dyk?
Yes. That's correct.
Okay. She also produces. She's gotten a lot of global internet radio and had some syncs on local TV. So what are you trying to accomplish, Heidi, that Jordan can help you with?
Well, I always wanted placements or to be able to sync my music. Mm-hmm. That's, my main goal and objective.
Okay.
I'm still creating, I guess, what I consider my own original sound, and working on a couple of more songs that are part of, I guess, a trilogy with Haydian, which is one that I just finished.
Okay.
But I've done also a lot of remixes of songs, and I want to keep working towards my own original songs and sound.
Okay. Very good. Shall we start with Blue Sky Action?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
get tired of life. What a world I'm living in. Now I've got it all. The heaven I've found living in.
I'm going to listen to all of these in their entirety
sure.
I get the songs, but just for the, because we'll be here till midnight, and you'll be here till 3
right.
in the morning or 2 in the morning. What's another one you want us to listen to?
Hadean?
Hadean?
Hadean. Hadean. Okay.
Okay. What does Hadean mean?
Well, it actually comes from when the planets were being formed, so there's three geologic stages. So Hadean was the first when Earth was being formed. It was pretty much a complete ball of fire. So it's equated to hell.
Got it. Oh, Hadean. Hades.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
The most fun stage.
Just hear 2 seconds or a few seconds of Believe in Love.
Okay.
Once in a while you have to stop and smell the flowers and thank the stars you're alive. You're alive.
So I took a note here that says that you're really looking for some guidance on placements and sinks.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so here's, and I think this is hopefully something that everybody here who's also interested in syncing their music or looking for opportunities to sync their music, I think you will have a much better shot at that if you can also develop good instrumental versions of these.
Okay.
Because the thing is that with instrumental, if you're in the zone with a mood, the lyrics don't take you out of it. For somebody who's, you know, an editor, if mm-hmm. they're looking for something to fit a scene and it's instrumental, as long as the vibe and the energy of it is right, you got a shot. But once you start adding words in that and lyrics, you get a much narrower window to get through.
Okay.
Because the lyrics and the words have meaning. So something like Blue Sky Action, which I actually really liked. I mean, it's very moody. I love the piano beginning with the strings, and you have this wacky modulation in the middle before the next verse comes in. What I would challenge you to do is find an instrument or instruments that are your vocals.
Okay.
And that can propel the song, and this is a challenge, I'm giving you a challenge, that can propel the song as if there were a singer.
Got it.
Do it with an oboe, do it with, you know, a violin, do it with something unusual that fits the vibe of the music and is your voice. And maybe for some inspiration, you know, listen to, there are a few instrumentalists that I think to me sound like vocalists. One is Miles Davis. I mean, his trumpet was his voice. He would mute it. He would do all kinds of things to it, but you didn't need words because he was giving them to you instrumentally. Jeff Beck, maybe the best of all time for me in doing that.
Yes.
And if you go and listen to Jeff Beck, you know, having vocals or lyrics on top of it, I think would almost diminish the lyrical quality and nature of his playing and his writing.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's done this really well in your genre. So you have an opportunity to break through a wall here.
Okay.
You know, nobody's done this in sort of the EDM electronica space. They rely on beats. They rely on sounds,
right.
You know, like the flanger you have, you know, that flanger sound you have in Hadean. And they rely on, you know, pads. But nobody has tried to do this by putting a really accomplished either instrumentalist on top of it or has written an instrumental part that can be the lyrics. And that's what I would challenge you to do because I think you will open up a lot of doors for yourself. What I'd like is for you to send me, you know, try that, send it to me, and let me send it to a friend of mine, Rich Goldman, who is runs a music library
Riptide.
Called Riptide.
Mm-hmm.
And Rich is arguably, and Riptide are one of the biggest sources of production music.
Okay.
Syncs.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly.
Okay.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. It's interesting because most of my original music is all instrumental. And I decided to challenge myself by doing things like remixing and I've never really written lyrics, so I've done mostly instrumental, but that would be, I guess, the next challenge, the next level to do that, and I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, do what you're, you know, play to your own strength.
Mm-hmm.
But I would challenge you to, you know, try to figure out a substitute for lyrics and vocals that is as compelling as if there were lyrics and vocals.
Got it. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, I look forward to hearing the results of that.
Any questions, Heidi, for Jordan?
Oh, I think that's quite enough. I appreciate your time.
Good.
Great.
Good. Well, stay with us. Please mute yourself, but if you have a question at any point, just wave your hand so I'll see you. Okay?
And thanks for sharing your music, honey.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Hey, thank you, darling. Okay. So, I see you there, Gabe. We're going to go to someone in the room, but we'll come to you momentarily. All right? I'm glad you could be with us. Sydney Alston. Sydney. Okay. Page 3. Welcome to you, Sydney. So, and Heidi, please mute yourself, okay?
Well, when I tried earlier, it hung up on me.
Oh, no. Okay, there's...
I'll turn the volume down. Are you kidding?
Well, there should be a little microphone that you can click, because we hear every rustle and flutter and... Okay?
All right, well, I'll sit still, and then if it's still loud, just tell
even,
me.
Even chewing gum wrappers echo. All right. Okay. So, Sydney Alston, this is not Sydney. That is his artist in her sexy
little... I was saying, Sydney doesn't look anything like his
gold
photo.
Gold shorts. Okay. Yes, I know.
All right.
So, Sydney is himself a manager, and he's looking to get a little bit of guidance, suggestions from you, perhaps co-manage. But he has had a great deal of success himself. He's gotten several artists signed, one to a major deal, Warner Brothers Records, which was fabulous. So he's got a very interesting artist now by the name of Maggie Gabbard, who he met through an Arab event. Thank you very much. And she's got a very distinct voice and manner to her. So we'd love to hear your thoughts on this. We're going to start with which one do you want, By Tate or Tonight?
Let's start with Tonight.
Tonight? Okay.
To a management deal about a month ago from Delaware, moved her out here, and what we're trying to do is, I know she's got a great voice, I think she has an awesome voice, great stage presence and all that stuff, but I don't think that we have the right sound or songs.
Right.
But this is so you can hear what she sounds like.
I appreciate that. And she is she the main writer for herself?
She's one of the writers on that song.
Right, okay.
She writes songs, too.
Okay, what else should we even listen to?
Play By Tape. That's one that she wrote herself.
All right.
The other songs we have are from your second artist.
Yes, I have another band I'm working with.
We'll listen to a couple of those. End of Ever. Okay, yeah. Let's play one of those.
Sway?
Yeah, play Sway.
Sway Me?
Sway.
Oh, Sway Mix. Is that the Sway Mix Faux Master?
Yeah, it works.
Okay.
That's the only Sway I see on here.
Yes,
it is. Is it loud enough?
Yeah. Song. She's got a good voice. Okay, so let's talk about Maggie first.
Okay.
So this is something that is super important with a new artist, especially in a world where there is so much noise. I mean, music used to be one of two or three forms of entertainment when I was growing up. And, you know, if you like rock music, there was a station you could listen to. And if you like blues, there was a station, or jazz, or urban music, or pop music, or country. And now everything has been fragmented and fragmented and fragmented. And when I was growing up, there were four or five television stations, and now there's hundreds. It's a satellite and cable. Same with radio. Same with, and now add video games on top of that, and add music streaming on top of that, add Pandora, add YouTube to the mix. What I'm getting at is it is virtually impossible for a new artist to pop through just based on a song, even if it's a really good song. And so what you have to ask yourself is this question: what is my point of entry? What is my point of entry? How am I going to get people to notice? How am I going to cut through the noise? What is going to make people want to look me up on the internet? What is going to help people discover me and discover my music? And a real point of entry isn't just getting a song on a radio or putting up a video. It's putting up a video that can be viral. It's putting up a video that's unique and different, that gets attention, that makes people want to share it, that makes somebody want to hit the follow button or the like button. Okay? That's how you have to think as a manager and as an artist. What is my point of entry? And there's a lot of different ones out there. A lot of different ones. You know, doing something really funny that can be viral is a point of entry. Doing something really sexy and raunchy is a point of entry. Doing something with a big video game is a point of entry. Writing an anthem for your home country's Olympic team is a potential point of entry. Writing something situational, associating the music or the song with something bigger than just the song, is a point of entry. There's all kinds of points of entry, but you have to find one. Now, as for the two songs you played by Maggie, they're well produced. She has a really cool voice. The harmonies on there, I don't know if she's doing that herself, but sounds awesome. But I don't think either of those two songs are songs that you can introduce this artist with and get the kind of traction that you want.
I agree.
Those are kind of follow-up songs once an artist has established an identity. And so you've got to find something that... It's really tricky with a first song by a brand new artist. Is that song, more than anything, is what creates the identity and association with the artist. You know, think back to the first song you heard by Madonna.
Mm-hmm. Like a Virgin.
Yeah.
Right. That created, it wasn't just a hit song, it created an identity for her. And she wrote that. And so you have to look at this artist as her manager, as what is her image, what's going to make her unique, yet palatable, yet interesting and approachable, or whatever, something that's going to grab people's attention and their mind share, which is harder than ever to do, which is the point I was trying to illustrate.
That's great.
And once you find that, figure out what the song is that reinforces that, that this artist can ride and create an identity. And then, because they didn't exist when I was a kid growing up, now you've got to create the video that reinforces the identity and the song, and you have to start building the kinds of fans with those tools before you even go to a label. build your fan base based on that. But it has to be great and unique and original, and most importantly, it has to cut through the clutter and make people want to share it with their friends. The best marketing force that an artist has are the fan base that they can accumulate. And the smartest thing to do when you have a fan base is provide them with the tools to be able to market and share the artist and grow the fan base. So I don't think that Tonight or By Tape necessarily lend themselves to what I'm talking about. Well, but I can't really tell just based on her photo what her vibe is. But she has an interesting voice, and she looks interesting. And you know her better than anybody else here, obviously. So figure out what that image is and what that identity is for her, and then go find the song. Have her write the song or get in a room with others to write that song for her.
There's a really good book by Ken Cragen. I think it's out of print, but you can find used copies sometimes on Amazon. It's called The Stardom Strategy, and he's got a very good strategy in there about building an artist's career from one level to the next. I'll summarize it later if we have time. The second thing is Ken Cragen recommends this, and I think it's really, really important. He says when you're managing a client, you should ask them some very specific things. What do you like? What do you dislike? What are your assets and what are your liabilities, personal and otherwise? Okay? Like, really hone in on who this person is, what he or she likes, dislikes, what are their assets and liabilities? Is she patient? Is she impatient? I mean, she's obviously got lots of chutzpah. Do you want to tell her about your story, your July 4th story? She met Lil Wayne.
Well, what it is, and I think you actually have given me with what you just told me exactly what I needed, because now I know who she is. I brought her from Delaware. She's living with me because I believe in her, and I've been able to learn and
on his couch.
I had a lot of time. But she's got three friends from America's Next Top Model. They're all hot girls. You know, we just did a show last week. She brings her friends with her. Her entourage is awesome. But that's how she. That's how she's able to make things happen. So she was at a club on a couple days before the 4th, just singing along with the DJ, and Lil Wayne was sitting behind her and heard her and thought she was awesome, invited her down to Miami for the 4th of July weekend.
That's cool.
With her. Last night, she was at Jamie Foxx's house, kind of met him the same kind of way. She heard her sing, invited her over to do studio stuff. I mean, she's... And it's all because of the attention that those girls bring to her. And she clearly, even though they're models and they're really hot, she just has a thing that stands out above that that makes her interesting.
What's she about? I mean, what is her interest? What was she doing when you found her? How'd you find her?
Through a publisher who was playing me songs, I heard her voice. The producers that produced the song, I found them and hung out with those guys a little bit through Tess, actually.
RKBC, right?
Yeah, RKBC. And they told me who she was, and I had them introduce me to her. A friend of mine, Heather Holley. Do you know Heather?
I don't.
Heather wrote for Christina Aguilera. I was going to New York. I asked Heather to check her out. So I flew to Delaware, met her, we hung out. I got a chance to meet her and kind of feel her out, and invited her back to LA to come for a couple of weeks. And that's how I met her.
Okay, figure out your point of entry, and then figure out her image, and then figure out how you're going to use content to get that across.
All right.
Okay, what's next?
All right, Sydney, thank you. Let's go to CJ. Here on page...
CJ DeLeo.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
You related to Dean DeLeo or Robert DeLeo?
No, unfortunately. Well, not that I know of, but I'm a big fan of theirs.
So CJ is another artist manager. He is investing in a band called Kicking Sunrise, which has actually got a really, really good thing going on. Here's to the Sunrise is their big song, right?
It's gotten a lot of placements, a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And they've released a 10-song album of very fun, feel-good stuff. Had a lot of sync success thus far. What would you like us to play first? Should
we
go?
Can start with Here's to the Sunrise.
Okay, Here's,
sure.
the sun, Here's to the Sunrise. Yeah. This is their hit. It's doing so well.
Woke up today and I'm singing out. Loud as ever, I'm breathing in, breathing out. Just to live another day. You gotta keep head up high when you're stuck in the water. Easy for me, I light up with the fire. It's a hit now, baby, let your head down kind of day. No matter your color, no matter what you got, your pocket, we owe it each other, we got this one life. We were given the opportunity to live, it's up to us to decide what we gonna do with it. Sometimes it rains, you need an umbrella, but don't worry because I got you. It don't matter the weather, we gotta pick each other up. Happiness is the key. I'm gonna tell you something serious, so listen to me. Money doesn't buy a smile on your face. Don't waste your time buying into the paper chase. Cause sometimes you gotta appreciate the pain, appreciate the band, appreciate the stains that made you who you are, reminded you to stay true. Hey, you, hold your head high, high. Cause when you're feeling down, you gotta look through the sky and be grateful. Just tag along with us and we'll be happy to see you like, ooh,
here's to the sunrise. Okay, what's next?
A little something called love.
Okay. Let's do a little bit of one more.
Sure.
California Girl.
That's fine.
Calif.
Okay. How'd you find these guys?
Actually, my brother was in charge of entertainment on his block back east and hired the band and called me and said, I think you should hear these kids. So, you know, he said, you know, we might want to start a record label. So I know it kind of sounds crazy, but we do have
it's
a...
rock and roll?
Yeah, but that's how it happened. We do have a connection because with the Ryan in the band, his father was my collaborator. You know, when I was a songwriter, we had several publishing deals and placement on Atlantic Records artist years ago. But, you know, his band couldn't do it. He said, you know, my son's got a band. And so that's kind of how it came together. And it was about 2 years ago.
Do they play their own music? I mean, play their own instruments?
They do. Well, he knew that was a prerequisite for Babe. Yeah. And that's one thing that we've been working on developing because the guitar player and drummer are really superior too. And some of the new stuff that I've had them develop is really, really showing off their chops now. But yeah, that's all them. Except they did let me play piano on the...
Because I'll tell you what's interesting about it is they kind of come off kind of boy bandish, but what's unique is that they play their own instruments.
They can play. They have chops.
And so I think that that's something... or a lane that isn't real occupied. Yeah. So that's the good news, is you have something unique about them. And here's the challenge. Have you looked at the Top 40 chart lately? Notice anything?
Yeah, that we're what not do you anything like...
well, what do you notice?
Well, the Top 40 was a mixture of R&B, E-Lot EDM.
What about the artists? What do you notice about the artists?
Girls?
Yeah.
It's
very female. It's very female heavy. Very female leaning.
See, I consider that a positive. So they all need boyfriends, right?
Yeah.
That's true. I'm partial to females too. Most of the stuff I do and write is female driven, and that's the secondary project I have. But
I mean,
right now,
you got Justin Bieber, Drake. And, yeah.
5 Seconds of Summer.
21 Pilots.
Yeah. Exactly.
But some of those artists, like 21 Pilots, they came and crossed over to that format.
Yeah.
You don't have a base to cross to with this band. You're not going to, they're not an alternative band, they're not a rock band, you're not going to start it there. You're going to have to go right into the most competitive, tight, programmed genre that there is, and really the only entities that succeed there are major labels, because they do a bunch of stuff that, because we're filming, I'm not going to go into, but stuff that's marginally legal and fairly unethical. In order to get, you know, records played.
Yeah.
You know, it's extremely... Extremely difficult.
Yeah.
So what do you recommend?
Are they really cute?
Yeah, they're definitely good looking. So one of the things we did, like I started sending it to some celebrities who have similar demographics, and Joe Gatto of the Impractical Jokers, I don't know if you're familiar with the show. It's a reality show. It's fairly popular. Some of you may be familiar with it. It's on True TV. So he was one we sent the package to, and lo and behold, he just tweeted how much he likes the song and the video, and you know. So we are looking at those kind of grassroots efforts. We have our first recording station with WOCM in Maryland, so they added it after hearing it. So yeah,
that's fabulous.
We are going the old-fashioned way. You know, I grew up in the 70s when pop and rock, all the best bands. The first album was not the best, you know. I think of Led Zeppelin and David Bowie and Pink Floyd, and then even in jazz, Joe Sample was my favorite musician, you know, and all his early stuff was great, but then Ashes to Ashes, 7 Years of Good Luck, you know, those albums are phenomenal. So I thought that, you know, if development is our focus, that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And but I appreciate your points to Sydney, too, about that entry point, because I've kind of been struggling with that as well. So,
well,
I think that's salient.
Well, here's a couple of things I wrote that you might want to think about. Is, you know, the music's, it's very happy, bouncy, fun. Guy's got a good voice. The production is very, we've heard it. We've heard this before. You know, we know what this is. Is there one or two instruments or sounds that could be kind of a trademark for this band that you don't normally hear in this kind of music that you could add to it, so that when people hear those instruments, they go, oh, that's interesting. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah.
That you can use, not necessarily in every song, but, you know, on a few songs that make sense in the context of the music, but that help the band stand out and help them become identifiable sonically.
I think so, because on California Girl, there's a guitar solo, and a group called Round to Cruise on Atlantic actually covered that already. And these kids gave me the idea that they love that. So I felt that Matt, the guitar player, we're going to focus on a lot more. That album's a year old. The band actually comes next week to start working with me. They'll be here next week, and we're going to work on the next record. And one of the things I already said, we got to find a more distinct sound. And in the last year, I actually quit my job and took a sound design course. That's all I've been doing, you know, so that I can, even if I don't do the production, I'm at least able to select the right producer so that we sound like.
The other thing is, know who your audience is. It's not guys our age. It's girls. It's teen girls. That's who listens to pop radio. Okay? That's your audience. Start building that audience, because they're easy to find. That's the good news. They're real easy to find. They're playing Pokemon Go, and they're, you know, on their Facebook, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And on Instagram. So if you can intersect with something that catches their attention, it can spread quickly, you know? But that's your audience right now. It's girls. So you got to go find the girls. And you have to put them in lanes where the girls can find them.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Any questions?
No. They covered them.
Where's the girls?
Okay.
The
girls. What's next?
So
I have to go home and tell my wife, okay, I need to meet a lot of teen girls. Is that what you're suggesting?
Says Jordan.
Says George.
I swear, honey, this is what he said.
So we're going to go to one more person and then take a quick break. So thank you guys for your patience here. Gabe, are you ready?
Let's do this.
Gabe Kibanda in Phoenix. All right, so Gabe is on page 10. Hello, Gabe. I'm so glad you could be here. All right, so Gabe is extraordinary. He's played 450 dates in 4 years, toured two continents on 15 self-made tours. He's been featured on VH1's reality show Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. A couple of you other guys have credits on that, too. Yeah. And has played the Vans Warped Tour, Summerfest, South by Southwest. He founded, co-founded with Peter, right? But you own the Epic Proportions Tour, which is this really, really interesting, company that funds bands who want to tour the country and make new fans. They have organized high schools and junior high schools and military bases all across the country, and they bring them their talent. So it's quite something. Gabe, good to have you here. What's your goal here? You want a tour? You're already touring. My goodness. Okay. Record deal, publishing deal, distribution, management. You want it all. Good for you. And you've got lots of sinks, Virgin Air, Virgin Hotels, video screens in bars. You've been all over the world, and you have some radio, which is fabulous. What are we going to hear first from you today?
The current hit is Don't Be Lying, I guess. These are all songs that are out and have music videos and all that for them.
Okay.
In the NARAP Los Angeles folder?
Do we have Gabe here? We found him.
Okay. Thanks. You said Don't Be Lying?
Sure.
Is the song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you say it's the current hit, meaning...
Current single.
Okay.
Current single.
Okay.
We want it to be the current hit.
Yeah. On the current...
What's that?
Ready for the Letdown's a good one.
Ready,
another video I just
ready for
out.
The Letdown? Okay.
Okay.
Got my high tops on, ready for the letdown. I'm betting it'll come around. Seasons in my town don't change for the better. Just like the weather, but I'm on, feeling like a strong one. Ready for whatever life keeps throwing those rocks, but I'm bobbing and weaving like a prize fighter. So hang on, sure to get bumpy. Sure we'll go hungry. Sure we'll be lonely on all those.
That's very original, unique. We haven't heard a lot of that. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. And I've got the instrumentals of all of them.
Good, that's good.
Good boy.
I don't necessarily think that that applies to you in the way that it may for others. You know, clearly you've been successful already at getting syncs for your music, right? Who's
a little bit.
Virgin Air, Virgin Hotels. It's good. So tell me about the touring. How do you go out there? How do you tour?
I started this to make it a vehicle so that I could always be on the road and I wouldn't have to rely on a record label or anything.
You have a band that you go with, or is it just you? Or
I'm a solo artist, and I'll use members of other bands that come with me, and that we kind of bookend the bill with me in the middle and two bands. And we do a lot of colleges, so the guarantees are a little higher than at clubs and venues. And we do free educational shows at high schools, and that gets me around the country. But I'm so busy running the tour. I'm tour managed. I drive the tour bus. I perform. I do it all. I book all the shows. So I literally have zero time for my artist side, and my creativity suffering. So I think the biggest thing I'm looking for is like to have some help, a management team or something, to take some of that stuff off my plate so I can be a little more creative again.
Are you planning to continue to run the Epic Proportions Tour? Are you going to hire someone to replace you, or?
I'm hiring a little bit at a time. We've got a part-time bus driver to help me out.
Okay.
A tour manager intern. But we have three tours planned next year. I'm going to be doing about 180 dates.
Wow.
So the music is getting out there on the ground. It's just having a team helping me get it out other places, since I can't really do it all on my own. I'm suffering and not doing everything as well.
Got it. All right, so let's ask you a question. And Susan just directed to you. Directed to everybody. It's an important question. What's the biggest music platform in the world?
Touring.
Mm-hmm. Live shows.
Well, anybody else?
Radio.
YouTube.
I was about to say YouTube.
It's YouTube.
YouTube, sorry.
YouTube is the biggest platform in the world for music. Roughly 90% of people who consume music use YouTube. Most of us use it every day. All right, so let's start there. You're a new artist. I assume your label is you?
Yes.
Your own label?
Yeah, I'm on, mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm on YouTube.
Yeah. My next question.
Following.
Do you have a YouTube channel?
Yep, I have a decent following. Little following.
How many subscribers? Any idea?
600 or something like that.
Okay. The subscriber button on YouTube is really important. Views on YouTube are great, but subscribers are even greater, and I'll tell you why. Because you can communicate with them. You can let them know every time you put up a new video. Do you do videos for all these songs?
Yes, for most of them, and I also do covers that get a lot of hits as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm. People love covers on YouTube. What about, because I haven't seen your videos, but what if I were to go and see your videos, would I want to share them with people?
Yeah, they're pretty entertaining.
What's entertaining or unusual or interesting about them?
The video for that song is me kind of on life on the road following my touring adventures, you know, being underneath a broken down bus or in my bunk or, you know, those kind of things. The video for Don't Be Lying is me as a hologram with cute girls watching me from their iPads. It's like the way of the future, I guess. It's kind of a fun concept. So they're both doing pretty decently on YouTube organically for my fan base, I guess.
You list Ed Sheeran as one of the artists that you're similar sounding. I think that's actually a good example of an artist that was not like everything else that was happening at the time and still isn't like everything else. Kind of acoustic based, pop, has elements of pop, some elements of even, you know, rock or folk to his music in a way, and somebody really broke through by being genuine and by accumulating a huge number of fans. And I think that's a little bit of a model for you here. Are you doing a diary when you're touring and sharing the experience with people?
I do wrap-up videos at the end of each tour, but not a diary. I'm just too busy driving the bus and
playing
shows.
If there's a way to put stuff up once a week at a minimum, that would be great. The more consistent content you can have, the more people are going to subscribe to your channel and the more fans you're likely to have. The cover thing is great too. Give me some examples of songs you've covered so I
we did
I know
the,
what you've done.
We did the DNCE song cover, Kicked by the Ocean, that got 113,000 plays. That was with a friend of mine channel. We partner up and do videos every once in a while. We did Geronimo, Unlatched by Sam Smith, and Disclosure. That was a really good one that everyone really liked. I usually do it in my own style to make it kind of my own acoustic, poppy kind of a thing.
Okay.
Working that angle pretty hard.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you've developed this much touring, I think before you get even a manager or a publisher or a label, you should be focusing on getting an agent. You can really, because it seems like your strength is touring, and you're willing to do it, and you do it a lot of it. Having an agent that can keep trying to elevate you, getting you, you know, better and better gigs, finding opportunities to package you with other artists. I think the most important thing for you is to identify who's successful that already has the audience. Let's use Ed Sheeran again as the example. Well, the ideal thing for you would be to open a tour for Ed Sheeran, right? I mean, you'd love that, probably, right?
Wonder how much of a buy-on that would be.
Well, there's buy-ons, and then there's agents that have a lot of artists that are in your zone that might be able to package you without the buy-on.
I have a question for you then, because I've talked with CAA and the agency group and some others, Paradigm. Because our concert tour has been successful on our grassroots level, but they're not willing to take us on because it's not just myself. It's three bands. The other two bands are always rotating. Our tours are very unstructured. We do high schools, we do colleges that sometimes have change of plans, and they pay us more than the medium-sized and small-sized venues will, and that's what keeps us afloat, us meaning the concert tour that I run, and myself as an artist. So I've had a hard time. I've had agents say, yeah, sure, we could take you and put you on a tour, but then I'd have to kind of forego what I've worked so hard with this tour.
What do you think?
That's a conundrum that I've been dealing with lately.
Well, do you only tour in that format with the Epic Proportions tour?
Yeah, I do.
That's the only... only way that you tour as an artist? Do you think it limits you somewhat?
It doesn't, it doesn't. I can play in front of 2,000 high school kids in one afternoon instead of 30 drunk people at a bar. And so in that instance, selling merch, getting fans that way is amazing. Instagram followers, Snapchat, it's amazing, you know. However, yes, it does hinder me from more traditional types of touring that I probably would be able to do now.
Can you imagine doing a combination of those things? You know, maybe do an Epic Proportions tour, and then maybe you open for an artist, and maybe you go out and play little clubs yourself. Are you open to that?
Totally open. Just need someone to talk to see how that would work. Yeah.
Let me see if I can, if you can send me some additional information on you as an artist, and if you have a tour history, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Let me introduce you to a couple other agents.
Okay.
Love it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I like your stuff.
Okay.
What's his artist name?
Gabe Cubanda. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Gabe, you know what? I'm going to cut you off from questions, actually, because we're starting... Tour history? You need to get your tour history to Jordan? And I'll be in touch with you as well. Can you stay with us? We're going to take a break, but there's going to be lots more after the break. You're in the same time zone, so I don't want to hear any complaining from you. Good. All right, stick with us, Gabe. We're going to take a quick break. The bathrooms are down the stairs.
How many minutes?
7. We're back for part 2 of our session with Jordan Berliant, fabulous personal artist manager who is listening carefully and giving deep and constructive feedback for the various career paths we have in front of us. So we are now going to get to Miss Lee Morin here in town from Atlanta. And Lee is here representing a client today as her attorney manager.
Actually, she's a personal friend. She's
okay.
Not a client yet.
Okay, so soon to be client. Lee Morin is representing a young artist by the name of Indy, also based in Atlanta,
Indy,
correct?
Indy Killed the Pop Star, and we just call her Indy for short.
But she is in Atlanta.
She's in Atlanta.
Okay, good. So, rock, pop, top 40, sort of a crossover artist here. Similar sounding artists, Ingrid Michaelson, Feist, Kate Bush.
Okay. How does that work?
Yeah, I think that's... What's
Are
that?
Sure that's the one? I remember the Kate Bush, Jeff Buckley... And Edith Piaf, actually, were the three that I put in her bio.
This is what I have. So unless there was some crazy merge,
I got Jeff Buckley on there.
Disaster.
Oh, you got a whole lot more stuff. Oh, she must have typed that in on her worksheet.
All right. Okay.
Yes,
so that's what we have.
Okay. Gotcha.
And her top skills are vocal harmonies, melodies, and instruments. Let's have a listen, and then Jordan will comment. Shall we start with Youngblood?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Start with Youngblood.
Got it? Good.
Yeah.
I regret.
One more.
Cloudburst and Cinder.
Cloudburst and Cinder.
Does she have classical training?
Yeah, she's an opera singer by training. And I can hear it. She okay. Went through a
and really complex. I was first listening to her voice. Her phrasing is very unconventional, and it almost reminded me a little bit of like early vintage Joni Mitchell in a way.
Yeah.
Anybody else hear that?
Anytime.
And she almost has this sort of like in Forgiven had this sort of retro, almost folk rock style to her voice. The other thing is she doesn't generally very little rhyming in her writing, which is interesting on the one hand, and you know, for the average listener who relies on that device, it's probably going to be well above them. You know, she's aiming very, very high. I noticed here that you said that her videos are in the upper hundreds of thousands. Her views or streams.
That's what she says. Yeah.
Is that true?
Well, she filled out the forms, and so she was in control of that part of the information. I've just been hooked on her since I heard her about 6 to 8 months ago, and then I took her to some songwriter circles, and she blew people away who've been in the industry 30 plus years, like Billy Hume, who was on our producer panel, just had no words. He was like, I don't know what to say. And people like that I've spoken to who are acclaimed veterans, like Steve Hardy, who's doing her remixes, and Peter Scott, who wrote the song Cloudburst and Cinder, that's a collaboration called Cold Arizona, just
right.
That, you know, all of us. You know, she's very critical of herself, and we're like, listen, even on your bad day, you're like really blowing people away. And so I'm kind of like a fan, you know, I don't really have enough of the numbers knowledge that I think you're looking for, which I'm sad I can't tell you, verify the video views myself, but I just know what I feel when I hear her music, and I have a visceral reaction to it, and I'm not the only one, and I've been DJing and listening to music since the 80s, and I like to think that I know art when I see it, when I feel it, and to me this is somebody worthwhile, you know, putting out here and bringing to you. That's
yeah, it's it's hard to like give a lot of creative feedback because what she does is so unique, and I'm sure, as you know, because it's really unique, you're pretty much, when we talk about like how are people going to discover this, I mean, there's just very few channels, you know, looking at some left of center blogs, you're looking at, you know, non-commercial radio like KCRW out here. I guess, you know, is there a way to present her in a visual way? Because her music is so, sort of struggling for adjectives, but like you said, you had a visceral reaction to it. It's dreamy on the one hand, and it feels like there's a journey involved. And is there a way to sort of create a story and use this music to punctuate the story and present it in a visual way that could be, you know, very different than the way most artists would present their music visually?
I'm thinking something Peter Gabriel-esque.
Yeah. Is there a way to tell like a 20-minute story using three of her songs, for example? You know?
Because her animation?
Not necessarily animation. It could be, but it could be something that's just a little longer form, you know?
She's in Wood Kids music videos.
Wood Kids?
Watch Wood Kids
music
videos.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good example.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wood
Kids. And her flower, I mean, this photo, of her profile.
I can't really tell what she looks like or what she's, it feels hippie-ish here, but
yeah.
Is that what she's, her image is?
So, I did pick on her and her photos, I'll be honest. I was like, I can't really see her face in this picture. And I think she's still struggling with getting a quality headshot that shows her, you know, at her face. Mm-hmm. As far as like,
she seems beautiful to me.
Oh, she's really
hiding
beautiful.
Behind these
yeah.
flowers. Okay.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. Why? You yeah. know, I wouldn't hide her like that.
I agree, and you know, I think here's the thing. I think her, and this is just me being frank with you. I think her As strange as it sounds, I think her confidence has taken a blow because she went through a period where she had calluses on her vocal cords.
That's very damaging for opera singers.
She couldn't be an opera singer, and which is what she trained to be and wanted to be. And she went through a long recovery and rehab, rehabilitation period, you know. And so she's been kind of battling physically to be able to recover from that. And I think because of that experience, it has really kind of been daunting for her, and she's worried about that.
So, do you have a question?
Yeah, please.
I got a comment. I think, I don't know, like, what she done put out about her story and stuff like that, but I think she could probably tell a story like that.
Yep.
Her music and that. People can relate to the pain.
Yeah, true.
And I have a phone number for you of a guy who fixes precisely those problems.
Really?
And does it for the very... very best.
And I know a really great filmmaker that she could team up with to make this. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Well, I give you all my cards, so please reach out. And I have to get some of your cards on your CD. And she's like the sweetest person. Like, she has no ego. She's very grateful. I bonded with her.
Okay,
her
so
song.
Video. We'll get her vocal cords fixed.
Yeah.
Get her good headshot.
Yes. Yeah,
she really is pretty amazing.
Do we have more? Oh, we have photos.
Oh, good. She's going online and trying to find her.
Okay. Interesting.
And she teaches too. She's a private music teacher as
well. Well, we'll make sure that he has all of this music. Any suggestions, Jordan?
Let me live with the music a little bit. I mean, this is like, give this one a lot of thought and try to find, you know, that lane that's gonna present her and give her the platform to present herself and the kind of as a special artist that she is, you know. It's just, you know.
What do you think about branding her as, like, obviously she's a singer-songwriter, you know, she writes her own music, even though she has the collab that she's still, mm-hmm. So I was thinking Sarah Bareilles, you know, who and like Carole King,
mm-hmm.
They performed together at the Grammys like a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
So like having that kind of branding her as a singer-songwriter in that niche might be a good way to bring her forward. And she had a crossover album too as well where she did popular music as well.
Sarah Brightman, yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, you're right. No, she's very technical.
I guess here's my question. Would she do something that is familiar or maybe even like a popular classical or operatic thing in this style, you know, as a kind of a way to, you know, just create something that's a bit familiar to the audience, but creates a platform for her voice to do what it does unique way. Like
Aretha Franklin did Ave Maria.
Yeah.
And it's just something.
I wouldn't say Ave Maria necessarily, but there's plenty of, you know, arias that people know.
Well, the ones that come to mind right away for me are from Carmen, La Traviata, and I would say Samson and Delilah, without question. My heart, you know, these are like three amazing arias that I love.
There's stuff from Madame Butterfly that could work.
Oh my God, yes. I love that one too.
You know,
it's like doing it in the acoustic style, you mean?
Well, just with the musical style, this musical style,
right,
but taking something that is classical but adapting it in this style.
So are you familiar with Amici Defined? And they did something similar where they took young opera singers and they took these classical arias and they put them in a modern style?
No.
Okay.
But I'll check it out. But let me go. I have a couple of ideas. I'll email you offline, you know, of what she could do. I think if you were to start there and create something amazing looking with her voice, that could really be interesting.
Cool, thank you.
And sort of a bridge to people being interested.
Yeah. Yeah, take the familiar. I'd love to hear her do just some classic arias, you know? There's so many good
but
ones.
But in this style.
Yeah, exactly. And I really like the production on Cloudburst and Cinder, the cold
Arizona
on the people.
That's good.
So I know you need to leave early. If people want to reach you, can we make your information available here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I handed out cards earlier.
Okay.
I didn't give you one.
Okay.
But I'll leave some with you.
Okay, please
and,
do.
And you'll get one of course.
Yeah, sure.
Hail and farewell, darling. Okay, nice to see you.
Nice to meet
you. All right, leave me a few cards here, or just leave a few cards on the table. All right.
Okay, what's next?
We're going to zip over to Kenneth. Kenneth, can you handle it? This is your first.
Kenny.
Kenny? Do you like Kenny or Kenneth? Okay, good. So this is your first NARUP session. Welcome to you, my dear. You are quite something. Okay, so you go by the name Riverside Capo. Born in Germany. Started life.
Was your dad in the military?
Mom and dad.
What's
that?
Mom and dad. Mom and dad were military, right? Frankfurt? Rammstein?
Rammstein. Okay. Then you returned to the States, raised by a single mother, resorted to the streets despite the protests of your mother, dropped out of school to pursue street life full time. Wow. So against the odds, you came out of that. It's all a distant memory. And now you have formed a nonprofit organization, BCF. What does that stand for? Better Communities and Families. And Lee?
I didn't find it.
Okay.
A partner of mine, he found it.
You founded it? And you're part of it, though. Okay, so very good. But you're also making music now.
Yeah.
Now, you're the artist and the producer and the writer, or?
The mixes on the music that you're going to hear, I did my little mix to this.
Okay.
The mix and the master.
Okay.
I administrate, and like you say.
Did you write it?
Yes, ma'am.
Write and perform. Okay, good. But you have someone help you producing.
Yes, ma'am.
Got it. What are we going to hear first? Lover's Lane? Very
okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Simpson. Take him on a chase, okay, like Jay Simpson. I think we on pace, a race to catch Nixon. Be quiet on the jacks in case the Jays miss it. Making up a case, you best to pay attention. They figure that this jail, the case, the best submission. Catch me with these drawers, assuming my intention. Pursuit for being black, that's racial profiling. Racial profiling, racial up in the lover's lane. Stranded on the island, wondering why we wildin'. Wondering why we wildin', welcome to the lover's lane. The land of opportunity, tell me what opportunity. Tell me what opportunity, tell me what the lover's lane. The story of these scars, they caused by whips and bars. They caused by whips and bars, they caused welcome to the lover's lane. Welcome to the lover's lane. Welcome to Lover's Lane. Welcome to Lover's Lane. Shoot for parole, the date of his conviction. Time going by, I kill it, lock twisted. I want it that the cuffs on hands is black business. I'm seen cause the chains of past is bad business. Tell him about the pain of Lover's Lane. No, we is not the same, the same. I see a change. Posted at the store where brother got lost for gold. Others got lost for gold. I'm showing no where to go. My auntie cousin died years living with AIDS. A non-fiction book, I'm still turning the page. I'm learning as I go, discovering every day. All my niggas in the trap, we trap like every day. All my niggas in the trap, we trap like every day. All my niggas in the trap, we trap like every day. Pursuit for being black, that's racial profiling. Racial profiling, racial on the island. Stranded on the island, wondering why we wildin'. Wondering why we wildin', wondering why we wildin'. The land of opportunity, tell me what opportunity. Tell me what opportunity, tell me what opportunity. The story of these scars, they caused by whips and bars. They caused by whips and bars, they caused by whips and bars.
That's harsh.
Welcome to Lover's Lane.
Give me another one. I was hoping to.
Julio Jones, touchdown Atlanta. Julio Jones, this is the big receiver in Alabama, one of the best in the NFL. From Alabama, was he worth that many though? Name five players, I'll trade them all for Julio. I'm five times better, you should see me in the studio. Sunday game time, shoot a movie star Julio. Home field advantage, now they quiet, here the boy go. Taking over games, shut them down, that's what we sell them for. Contract extension, Julio. You hit this and we tie up. Second quarter, and he got a headache. Man on work, double team on work, triple team on work. Oh, go ahead, bring the alarm up. Bring a stop to the madness. Can't keep letting him pass us. Send up no deep passes. We don't let him pass us. Phone and feed the business. He be running through the fingers. They know it's coming to him.